It's a beautiful day here in Hartford, Kentucky. Glad to be with you folks this morning. Glad you tuned in to Advent Hope. I hope that something that I share with you in the next half hour is something that will give you inspiration and will help you along life's journey. We're all on a journey together, aren't we? We help one another. We serve one another. And we above all want to serve the Lord. And this is kind of the topic of today. I'm going to read a scripture verse. It's going to be familiar to some of you and maybe not to all of you. It's in Joshua chapter 24, and start with verse 14, and here's what it says. It says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river," that would be the Euphrates River, by the way, "or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." When I walk into my house, through the front room and then up the stairs into the kitchen, there on the left side on the wall are these words, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That was given to us as a gift by a realtor a number of years ago as we moved into a previous house. And we made sure that wherever we live, we have those words with us. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You know, in the matter, by matter of context, Joshua is nearing the end of his life here on earth. He had spent many years battling against the Canaanites, settling the Israelite people into the land of Canaan. He was there as Moses' replacement. God had encouraged him, "Be strong and of good courage. The Lord is with you wherever you go." And so Joshua went from victory unto victory, and he had made a determination early in his life that he, his wife, his family, they would always be servants of the Lord of hosts. Now, this is important for us, and I'm talking about decision time for many of us. I've made the point a number of times that we live in a most unusual year. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if 2024 turns out to be the most unusual year any of us have ever experienced. Now, I'm not a prophet. I'm not predicting terrible things happening in this context, but I'm just saying, look at what's going on in the world. Look at what's going on in politics. Look at what's happening in our own government. It just seems to me like we're this balloon that's getting ready to pop. Well, with this in mind, I want to invite you to a quick game of let's make a deal. Let's make a deal. Okay? Now, if some of you older folks may remember when that was a television program, Let's Make a Deal, Monty Hall, you know, calling guests out of the audience, you know, make a deal. Do you want what's behind door number one, door number two, door number three? Well, I've got two doors to offer you here. Now, we're going to use our imaginations, and I'm going to pretend that I have the power to do this, okay? Somehow I have this divinely imparted ability to fulfill this for you, okay? Behind door number one, we offer you everything you could possibly want in this world. Good health, good life, adequate money, in fact, a lot of money, a nice house, a nice car, wonderful family, no problems in your life, no issues you have to deal with, no drug addictions, nothing that would cause you harm and pain. So if I were of the power to offer this to you, I'm sure some of you would take me up very quickly on this. But there's a condition. Okay, perfect life, perfect health, perfect financial situation. Everything's going wonderfully for you behind door number one. But there's one condition. You must never claim the name of Jesus for yourself again. You must not claim to be a Christian. You must not claim to believe in God. You must not claim anything having to do with Jesus and being a disciple of his and being a Christian, being a member of his church. You have to put that aside. You will enjoy all of these wonderful things during life here on planet Earth, but that at the end of your life, there is a Christless grave. There is hell, whatever you happen to believe about that. The Bible does teach about hell, although some concepts of hell are purely unscriptural, to be sure. But that's it, okay? Behind door number one, everything you could imagine that you would possibly want, good health, good finances, good family, everything going wonderfully for you, but you cannot claim the name of Jesus. You cannot believe the Bible. You cannot be a member of his church. Behind door number two, I offer you no one but Jesus, okay? Now, Jesus comes with eternal life. Jesus comes with the blessings of heaven guaranteed. Jesus comes with forgiveness of our sins. He comes with all of the things embodied in the person of Jesus Christ. Behind door number one, everything you could possibly want on planet Earth. Behind door number two, Jesus. Kind of reminds me of an offer that the devil himself made to Jesus one day up on a mountaintop as he showed him all of the treasuries of the world, showed him the cities, showed him the beautiful things that the world had to offer. And Satan told Jesus, "All this I will give you if you'll just bow down and worship me." Well, that must have been quite an offer. And I wonder how you or I would respond to such an offer. All of these things, everything you could imagine, everything your heart desires here on planet Earth, but you don't have Jesus. And if you choose door number two, you have Jesus and all that comes with him. Well, think about that for just a moment. And consider the fact that most people on planet Earth will choose door number one. Hey, I want good health. Hey, I want all my needs supplied. Hey, I want good family relations. Hey, I want freedom from all my addictions. I want money. I want popularity. I want wealth. All of these things that the world has to offer. I want these things. But I don't want Jesus. Tragically, this will be the desire of many of our carnal hearts as we consider the options that lay before us. You see, these are more or less the options that are offered to us. Well, we can't guarantee perfect health. We can't guarantee all the things that the world offers, to be sure. But just imagine if I could for a moment. Just play with me for a moment. If I could offer all of these benefits to you, but without God, without Jesus in your life, would you take him? What's the decision? What choice would you make? Well, I can say with all sincerity, I've been blessed in so many ways. But one of the reasons I've been blessed, in fact, the main reason I've been blessed, is because I chose Jesus. Okay? Comes back to choosing. And I call this message a time for choosing. We all have to make a choice at some point in our life, don't we? We all have to choose who we're going to serve. Well, this is the question that Joshua was asking the Israelite people there towards the end of his life as he looked back over the conquests that he had made by God's blessing, as the people of Israel had settled into the cities that they had conquered from the Canaanites. And Joshua throws this question before them. Fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, Joshua 24:14. Put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord, he admonishes them. Now, he refers to the fact that their founding father, Abraham, had lived at one time on the other side of the river. Abraham, the river being the Euphrates River, he had lived in what today we call Mesopotamia, or Iraq, if you will. And he had been born and raised in the city of Ur, which was a great city in those days, and he had grown up in the city of Ur and was probably part of a prominent family, well-to-do, doing well, and they served the gods of the Mesopotamians, gods like Inanna, gods like Enki, gods like Sin, and other gods of that kind. And he had grown up, that being his normal means, his normal understanding of worship. Culturally, they were pagans. They worshiped gods that they could see, gods of the moon, gods of the sun, gods that they made with their own hands out of metal or clay or wood. And they had served these gods on the opposite side of the Euphrates River. And Abram at first, we later changed his name to Abram. God changed his name to Abraham. He came across the Euphrates River, came down into the land of Canaan, and there they were introduced to many other gods, the gods of the Canaanites, the Baals, the other Chemosh, some of the gods that became, well, Chemosh didn't come on the scene until a bit later, but the gods of the Canaanites. And so what Joshua is doing is he's offering a choice, offering a life-altering, total commitment choice to the Israelite people. They had come out of Egypt where their fathers, first with Abraham, they had served the gods of the Mesopotamians. Now they'd been in Egypt for several hundred years where they had been tempted to serve the gods of the Egyptians, Osiris and Isis and Amun-Re, those gods. And Joshua refers to the fact that, yes, these were gods that were real to them. These were gods that were made of metal and images of various materials. But he lays this challenge before them. He lays this decision, this challenge. He says, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day who you will serve. Basically saying, don't continue to sit on the fence. Don't continue to put off the life-changing decision, the altering decision of who you're going to serve. You see, some people in the world today, they want to serve God and they want to serve the world. Well, Jesus says you can't serve God and mammon. And what he was really saying is you can't serve God and throw all your love and your loyalty to the world at the same time. The two don't mix, like oil and water. And so Joshua is saying you can't serve the Lord God and serve these other gods as well. You have to make a choice. You have to determine who you're going to serve. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, across the Euphrates, okay, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. The Amorites is kind of a generic term for the, literally means the West Semitics, the people that inhabited the land of Canaan as the Israelite people moved in and conquered the city after city. So he admonishes them to choose who you're going to serve. Now, the fact of the matter is, my friend, we all serve somebody. We all serve somebody, whether we want to admit it or not. Or we serve, ultimately, self. Well, I can take care of myself, we say. I'm entitled. I deserve happiness. I deserve health. I deserve to win the lotteries. I deserve this. I hear that word all the time on commercials. Get the thing that you deserve. Drive the car that you deserve. Purchase the house that you deserve. I hear that word sometimes on commercials, you deserve it. And I ask myself, who says I deserve it? Now, most of us understand something about you deserve what you work for, okay? If I work hard, I raise a lot of money, and I give myself a little luxury item, well, that's one thing. But if I just assume that I deserve this and I deserve that because, after all, I live, therefore I deserve, well, that's a wrong assumption in my mind. We don't deserve anything but what is given to us as a gift or that we work through our work for, from our labors, okay? So, the gods of the Amorites, these are the gods like Baal and some of the other gods, they had gotten very immoral in their practices. It was no wonder that the Israelite people all through their life were drawn away to these pagan gods. Because the sexual priestess and the temple services and all of the things that took place, they had a carnal attraction to them. And the false gods always appeal to our lower nature, whether it's through our selfishness, whether it's through our carnality, our immorality, you know, whether it's through violating the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery, fornication, all of these issues. The devil knows that these things have an attraction to us, and they appeal to our lower nature. And the gods of these other nations, their primary way of appealing to the Israelite people was to appeal to their carnal, sinful, sexual nature. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm all for sex. Did you know that Christians have the best sex of anybody? Okay, according to studies. Well, that's neither here nor there. But, and I'm all for it. Okay, that's what I'm saying. But they appealed on the baser nature. And so the Israelite people were often getting caught up in worship of these foreign gods. So, they had an appeal to them. They had something that caused them to continually apostatize and fall into the worship practices of the foreign gods. And Joshua is confronting this. He says, choose good and not evil. Do good. Serve God in sincerity and in truth. Do you want to worship the gods of the pagans? Whether they're in Mesopotamia across the river, or whether they're the gods and of the Amorites, those that we have conquered, the Canaanite people here in the land which you now inhabit, are those the gods you want to serve? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. What a decision. Joshua knew the God of heaven, the Lord God, was the only one who could truly deliver on the promises that he had made. He knew that he was the one who had preserved his people all through the harsh years in the wilderness. He had first taken them out of the bondage of Egypt. He had taken them to Mount Sinai. He delivered unto them his law, his commandments. He had given them sustenance and maintained them as a people. And even after they had rebelled and he'd had to punish them from time to time, he continued to preserve them as a race during the wilderness years. And through the leadership of Joshua, he had brought them into the promised land. They had defeated kingdom after kingdom, city after city, and now they inhabited the entire promised land that God had promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so as Joshua reflected on this and perhaps meditating on the false promises of the false gods, the images, the idols of Mesopotamia and of Egypt, he declares to the people, whoever decision you choose to serve, whoever you choose to serve, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I think that should be, for all of us, a commitment, a statement of commitment. There are so many others who vie for our attention, who vie for our loyalty. So many of us, we serve television, we serve entertainment, we serve sports, and I'm not against these things in and of themselves, and please don't misunderstand me. I'm not, you know, a Victorian prudish type of person that, you know, just wants to go hide in a cave someplace either. We live in a real world. We find entertainment in various places. But when it comes to our ultimate service, who do we really serve? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, when you think about it, is there any rational choice other than that we could make? Is there any wise decision, any wiser decision that a human being can make than where they are going to spend their eternity? You see, the gods of this world, and I'm using this metaphorically, the gods of popularity, riches, entertainment, worldly pleasure, all these things, the gods of this world will be pleasant for a moment, but will leave us empty and with no eternal life at the end of time. We go to a Christless grave. The gods of this world cannot provide life everlasting and a life more abundantly that Jesus promises in John 10:10. The gods of this world are a facade of the reality, the real God of heaven. So I'm going to change places now in my Bible, and I'm going to Matthew 16, where Jesus kind of addresses this same issue. Remember I quoted Jesus a while ago. He said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You know, you have to serve one or the other. We have to make decisions. And today, my friend, is a time of choosing. If you haven't chosen who you're going to serve, who you're going to let into your mind, into your heart, who you're going to allow to be the Lord and Master of your life, today is a wonderful day to do that. We all choose to serve someone, whether it's the God of heaven, whether it's the God of entertainment, whatever that may be, whoever that may be, we choose to serve. And so Jesus confronts his disciples on this, and he lets them know the cost of following him. I'm in Matthew chapter 16, and Jesus had shortly before declared to them who he was, the Son of the living God. Well, he had acknowledged Peter's declaration, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And now he speaks to his disciples in Matthew 16:24. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Almost like going back to our let's make a deal scenario. There's one door that promises all the good things this world has to offer, and the other door gives us Jesus. And he says, you have to deny yourself. You have to give a little sacrifice. You have to let Jesus be the Lord and Master of your life. He says, if you're desiring to come after me, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. Wow. Some people would say, well, that's a pretty harsh requirement here. Is it really worth the cost? What am I willing to pay to get to heaven? Now, wait a minute, Kevin. You say, heaven is free. Salvation is a gift from God. And it is. Salvation is something that he offers us free of charge. All I need to do is come to him in faith, get on my knees, confess my sins, and I have salvation as a gift. And indeed you do. But it's a gift with a condition. And the condition is we not only trust him to forgive our sins, we trust him with our life, with our heart, with our loyalty, our allegiance. We trust him to know what's best for us and to follow him. as he leads us. Deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Now, some of the disciples literally bore a cross for Christ. They gave up their possessions. They wandered in this world as homeless, as people that roved around talking about Jesus. Some of them sacrificed their lives, their very lives, for the cause of Christ. Why? Because they considered anything this world has to offer as being far insignificant to what Christ has to offer for us. Eternal, everlasting, happy life. So, Jesus goes on and says, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You've heard expressions like, hey, you only go around once, live it up today, eat, drink, and be merry, tomorrow we die. You know, he who dies with the most toys wins. All these expressions we use in our own clever manners of trying to put off the time of decision-making. The fact that we stand before the judge of the universe, called into account for the lives that we live, the decisions that we make, the helping or the hurting that we've done in our lives. And we try to make this life on earth as pleasant and happy as we possibly can. Well, if I just had more money in my bank account. Well, if I just had more perfect health. Well, if my kids just behaved better. Well, if, you know, in 1,000 different ways we try to make life as wonderful and pleasant as we can on earth. And again, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about going off into the wilderness and living in a cave. I'm not talking about taking necessary measures to deal with our health and to deal with our finances, to deal with the things that are most important to us. I'm not talking about that at all. What I am saying is, where is our ultimate attention focused? Who has the ultimate, requires the ultimate service from us? Who has our ultimate loyalty? Jesus says, I must have your ultimate loyalty. If you desire to save your life in this world, and it's kind of a way of saying, make life as wonderful as you can in this world, you're going to lose the life I have to offer. But if you trust your life into my hands, Jesus says, you will have everlasting life. And then he asks this all-important question. Remember, we're talking about door number one or door number two. For what profit is a man? What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? If you've taken time to listen to those words and read them in your own Bible, they're very penetrating, thought-provoking questions. What will a person give in exchange for his soul? Now, soul has something to do with your eternal life. Where are you going to spend your eternity? I turned 65 this weekend. And as I turn 65, I'm reminded that life does not go on forever and ever. Now, we all have our health issues. I have mine. You have yours, you know, I'm sure. Young people don't think in these terms very often. Well, I'm immortal. I'm going to live forever. And yet I've done funeral services for people that died at a way too young ages. Sometimes I look at the local newspaper obituaries and I see people who are in the grave before me, okay? And I'm reminded again and again of the uncertainty and the brevity of life. Not that I want to be morose about it, not that I want to always dwell on it, but since it's my 65th birthday this weekend, I'm getting set up for a series of health checks, you know, going to have my heart checked on in a few days, have other issues checked on. I'd like to live as long life on this earth as I can. You know, I want to die a natural death one day. If Jesus doesn't come first, we're all going to die. If he doesn't come in the power, in the clouds of glory one day, we're all going to face the death, the grim reaper. Jesus says in the next verse, verse 27, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Then he will reward each according to his works. Jesus many times talked about the fact he's coming again. Where will you stand? Will you be ready? Have you made the choices today that will prepare you for that day? Or have you been so focused on fun, games, living life on this earth that our focus has gotten away from the truth? We stand before God. We give account for the life we live. And someday, Jesus is coming back and he wants to take you home to be with him. So again, it begs the question, what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world but loses his own soul. Wow. Stark choices to be made. There's a strong difference between one who is living for the pleasures of this world. Again, I'm not talking about going and living off in a cave someplace. I'm talking about what is it that ultimately gives you pleasure in this world? Is it, you know, is it fun? Just constant arrays of fun. You know, I think of Hollywood, you know, I think of the parties they go to at night after night, and then they go home and they're faced with reality again and they cry themselves to sleep sometimes. I think of the things that we do in the name of fun, all the drug culture, so many people trying to drown out their concerns, their depression through taking drugs of various kinds. And they try to call that fun. They try to call that happiness. Jesus is the only source of real happiness, my friend. The certainty that if, God forbid, I died today, he has a home for me in heaven. That's the assurance that we have. Why would I want to exchange eternal life for the brief life that I live here on this earth? That's the point I'm kind of boiling down to here. Why would I want to exchange Jesus for everything this world has to offer? Because the world doesn't have that much to offer when you think about it. The things that the world offers, they rust, they mold, they collect dust, they lose their value. We become disenchanted by the things that we thought were so great. Now they're not so fun anymore. Jesus says, I've come to give life and to give it more abundantly. In John chapter 10, Jesus has talked about himself as the good shepherd. John chapter 10 and verse 10, he says, the thief comes not except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, the thief may come in beautiful looking garb, all right? The thief may come and actually be kind of enjoyable for a while. He may be fun. He may give you something that puts a smile on your face, that lets you disregard that bad conscience of the pollution of sin that you've been involved in. He may come and make this addictive behavior seem so fulfilling and so happy. And yet, the thief only comes to rob and to steal, to destroy. Jesus says, I'm come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. You know, when I talk about life and eternal life, you know, living in heaven, new earth, you know, however we define it, I'm not saying that it's all just a pie in the sky by and by. The happiest decision I've ever made in my life was where I'm going to spend my eternity. And that has changed my life, my whole outlook on life, because I know that God has a future for his people. God has a plan for us that goes far and above the things this world has to offer. God offers something, I call it transcendence, something above and beyond, something that goes way beyond what the world offers. Oh, the world has plenty to offer, I'm sure. Yep, fun, games. The problem is in our culture today, as I see it revealed on a television screen, as I see it revealed in magazines, as I see it revealed so many ways, the problem in our culture, we've lost sight of what God offers us. We've lost sight of that transcendent, God-shaped dimension that says God has something more for us than what the world offers. And so my admonition to you, my friend, give careful consideration to what I'm saying. Whether you like the way it was said, whether I jotted every I, crossed every T, you know, however it was said, Lord, friends, whatever you do, think about your life. What is it today? Are you getting the joy out of your life that you intended to? Did that new house you bought and that new car you bought, is that really giving you ultimate satisfaction? That big bank account, those dreams that you're seeking to fulfill with that college degree, all of these are good things. Please don't misunderstand me. But are they taking the place of the first place, God in your life, that he desires to have? Christ in your life. Like Joshua, can you honestly say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord? I like the response of the Israelite people. Turning back to it just for a moment. As for me and my house, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. And the people's response was this. So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. I hope that's your response too, my friend. Far be it from you, far be it from me to serve any God, but the Lord God, the God of heaven, the one who can truly deliver on his promises. Thanks for listening to Advent Hope. Beautiful day today. I hope it stays this way for a few days. I hope that God blesses you. I hope that you enjoy some of the blessings that I've been talking about. But just remember, it's God who gives the greatest blessings. Thank you for listening. God bless you.